Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored as always by 50 West Brewing Company. Owner Bobby Slattery, he's better known to you all as Optimistic Bobby for his rosy Bengals takes, but he truly has something special going on down on Route 50 in Newtown. They combine delicious beers, like my personal favorite, the best IPA anywhere, coast to coast, as well as always rotating seasonal selections. They combine that with an active lifestyle, running groups, sand volleyball leagues, cycling, canoeing, all that based out of the Pro Works. Go on down there, eat some fantastic food, drink some great local craft beer in what I honestly think is the best brewery environment our city has going. Anyway, if you get a chance, head on down to 50 West Brewing Company. Always a great time where every beer is a journey. Join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Bengals beat writers Paul Danner Jr. and Fletcher Page take you inside Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome into the latest edition of the BBP. That's right, it is, once again, the Bengals Beat Podcast, presented by our good friends down at 50 West Brewing Company, makers of delicious beers, good times, and they're actually, 50 West is sponsoring the 50 West Mile this year, which is Friday of Flying Pig Weekend down. It's a run, basically a mile run through downtown that ends in Smail Park. The That's So Cincinnati podcast is going to be going live from Smail Park, doing a pod down there, talking about running in Cincinnati. It's going to be a good time. I don't think Optimistic Bobby's going to be down there, though, unfortunately. They're all busy. They've got a ton going on. They're opening a new place in Chillicothe, which is awesome. They're opening a new one. They're trying to keep them on Route 50. Which is just a really cool thing that they're doing.
I think I might make an appearance.
Yeah?
For your live remote.
You going to run?
No, I live with a runner, but this is
maybe she'll run, and you can be waiting at the end having a drink.
That's my kind of...
It's a good place for you to drink a coast to coast and tell... You know what? That'd be a perfect time for you to come on and tell your story about Duke Energy.
Oh, yeah.
That's the most Cincinnati story that you have.
I told that story a couple times this
morning.
But I think
we need to get that thing recorded.
Put it out there.
We need to get it done. Yeah.
Is Duke do they have any sponsorship potential at the Inquirer?
No.
Because we can kill that.
Yeah, no. No, don't worry about that. We got a lot to get to here. This was slated as our defensive look podcast. But we spent so much time last week on quarterback, and we really could continue to, that we never really got to get into offensive line, tight end, receiver. So we're going to kind of try to get through some of those and talk defense. I hope you've been checking out the Bengals draft series that we have going on the website right now. We're counting down. We're getting close. I think we're at tomorrow. As we record this, tomorrow is quarterbacks, and that's number 5. So we're almost there.
Yeah, our good friend Bobby Nightingale on the Reds beat, he told me the other day at the stadium, he said, man, Paul, he's really intense with these position-by-position draftings. I was like, yeah, he's deep in the matrix. So he's deep. Dehydrated. He's sleep-deprived.
Hey, I tell people, this is why. I'm going in hard on draft. This is why I can't, as a human, I don't have the capacity to go that hard for 4 months. That's why I'm so against it, man, when it's January. Because when I'm going in draft, I'm going in hard. Well, it's a good chance to take stock of where is this team at. They view this as the most important weekend of the year from a roster perspective. They don't care about free. This is it. So this is the perfect time to set the stage for what has happened, where they're going, where they hope to go, call some people out. It's got to happen. People get called out. That's what this is. So anyway, I hope you get a chance to check it out. Again, quarterback is up Wednesday morning. So I'm not going to lie. I spent a little extra time on QB because I know you people are going to be interested. A lot of good stuff in there, so check that out. Let's start here with offensive line, where they might go. You know, we haven't gotten to the tackle portion of the series yet. We did interior offensive line actually this morning, and you know that's one where I think is going to be a depth piece later in the draft.
Interior, yeah.
So I, we didn't really. There's not really a need to go big into that. You know, somebody is going to be drafted late in the draft. You've probably never heard of,
and you're going to love them for the next two or three years when they're not playing.
Why isn't Nate Herbig getting his shot? So I'm not going to spend much time there. But tackles is obviously the interesting spot. Everybody knows. This is the point where everyone that screamed and yelled when he who shall not be named anymore was re-signed to play right tackle. Everybody who screamed and yelled, "No! I'm quitting! I am no longer a Bengals fan!" Everyone who lost their damn minds when they re-signed Bobby Hart will feel a little bad about not waiting to see the process play out if at number 11 they take a tackle, right? We've kind of had the sense that maybe they wouldn't. It's definitely in play because when you – in the first glance, first brush back in January, when you looked at what the board looked like, what the Bengals' needs were before Bobby Hart and all of that, there's going to be four first-round right tackles that are probably slated to go in that area all right there.
10 to 20.
Earlier. When Jonah Williams and Juwan Taylor go, I mean, they've been slotted as high. I've seen them as high as 4 or 5. Juwan Taylor, a lot of people have them going to the Jags at 7. So when you talk about Juwan Taylor and Andre Dillard and Cody Ford and the fourth one, his name is slipping me right now, Jonah Williams, thank you, Alabama. When you talk about those four, that is immediate day one starter, huge upgrade at a massive position of need, solidifying the line. Some of those guys could even pop in and play guard for you if you needed, mm-hmm. if you were looking to. So somebody gets hurt. Let's say you have Cody Ford, and he's starting right tackle for you, and John Miller gets hurt. You could move Ford into right guard. Bobby Hart can take right tackle. And you really have a lot of versatility if you can have a high-end right tackle who can bump into guard if you would need him to.
Hey, you know I'm all about these SEC guys.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm a big fan of Taylor and Williams.
Yeah. The interesting thing about these, we go back to, we don't know a lot. And you know, everybody we've talked to, There is some learning process happening behind the scenes right now, obviously. You know, they're trying to learn what these coaches want, what types of players they view as the best to develop. Everybody wants the best guys. Obviously, you want a guy who's big and fast and strong and can move and all that stuff. But when you get to it, when you're not picking in the top five, you get to a point where those guys, you have to be putting up with something. There's something that they're not perfect at, or they would be going in the top five. This whole damn league needs right tackles. So they're learning what this staff views as the things that they can put up with. And I don't know, from our perspective where we sit, it's hard to know what that is because before I could tell you, I saw 16 drafts in a row. I know what that mold looks mm-hmm. like. We don't really know other than Jim Turner told us he likes big old boys.
Right. He likes big offensive linemen, which is like saying you like 7-foot centers. What would be his the deficiency that he most feels comfortable developing? That's what we're trying to identify. Does he like a guy that's really big and strong and might not have as much athleticism? Or would it be vice versa? You know, what kind of traits and skills does he want to teach? And does maybe somebody in a scheme in college fit that or not fit that, and how he addresses that? I don't. it's hard to project.
Are you looking for a guy maybe who's more dominant as a pass blocker, Jonah Williams? Or are you looking for a guy who is more of a run game mauler, Cody Ford, Juwan Taylor? Or are you looking for a guy who showed great, but there's a how will he project like Dillard when you're talking about Washington State's air raid spread offense? It's a little bit of that with Cody Ford, too. But, I mean, when you're looking at how will that project to a pro style, there's a lot to determine between these four. And from where I sit, man, right tackle, a starter, draft a starter! A starter day one right tackle for the offensive gurus in the house feels nice. That's what I thought from the beginning, and then I started to get a sense that there wasn't a lot of momentum there, and maybe there should have been, or maybe they're going back on it again, and when you really start getting to those discussions, you feel a little bit more about, oh, well, actually, these guys do fit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intrigued, and I think that they're very much in play.
Yeah, and I don't want to muddle up this conversation, but everything for me is predicated on the two Devins. I don't think Devin White, linebacker, feels like such a glaring need. I still have that December defense in my head.
Yeah,
I can't get over how bad they needed linebackers then, and they definitely need a day one linebacker to come in that door. But Devin White, it's hard to say he'll be there at 11, and Devin Bush might to some feel like a reach at 11.
He's not a reach to me at all.
I don't think he is.
No.
But he could he be available later in the first round? Maybe.
Yeah.
And then that's where the offensive tackle comes in. If Devin White's off the board and you're sitting there at 11 and you could take one of these offensive tackles.
That's the interesting thing is on the board, on the ranking of 1 to 11 for the Bengals. Where is Devin Bush amidst these four
right.
tackles? Where is he? Is he 12? Is he 13? Is he 9? Is he 7? And, you know, Taylor is 5. That's a board we're not privy to. We've got an idea of what we think here, but, I mean, that's the most interesting question is when you start mixing this up, when you get your hands in there and you see where it vets out. I've heard multiple times Duke say something that I just have not heard from anyone else across the league. And that was, I mean, he told us at the combine, at Senior Bowl, I think, too. He thinks there's actually a lot of depth at linebacker.
He does.
And I don't hear that anywhere. And you follow the money in free agency, teams don't see that, I don't think. And maybe there are guys. I mean, there's certainly guys that you can get, but the immediate impact, rare trait, three down linebacker, it's for them it's gonna be either Devin Bush or you're gonna be settling. So that both positions are huge needs. So you start to take a look at the second level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If we take Bush, what does the right tackle look like in round two versus if we take the right tackle, what does the linebacker look like in round two? There's tackles, right tackles, that you could get in round two, whether we're talking about Greg Little, we're talking about Titus Howard, big dudes, powerful dudes. They're not quite elite level, but you're getting them in the second round. They could probably come in and compete and develop. Andrew Whitworth was picked in the second round. You know, they could compete right away, probably play over Bobby, and you'd have the linebacker. But the question I'll pose to you, should you think that way? Or should you just think we need to get the best possible player at one of these positions of, you know, there's lots of positions of need for them, really three, four,
mm-hmm.
main. Should we just get the highest, the best possible player for that first round pick and not be thinking about, well, how are we going to fill the other one?
Yeah, see, I think this all hinges on Devin Bush, because I don't think Devin White's going to be there. So
no,
I think you take that best offensive tackle there in that scenario.
And if you do, don't you try? Aren't you interested in hedging to try to add a third round?
I was going to say,
because right, you know that now you're going to have to fill linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to probably need to take multiple shots.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you got to take more than one.
Yeah, and so we're talking about, all right, well, maybe if you're going to take Cashman from Minnesota, or maybe you're going to take, you know, one of these other guys that are going to be around in the second and third round. If you add a third round pick by moving back a couple of spots, then I think Cody Ford is probably the best fit for what we know of what Jim Turner wants, and could be a big mauler over there. The kick into guard thing is also a nice touch. A big athlete. I mean, he would just finish people off. I mean, he's a serious player. But I think people view him as a little bit further back. So if you're on the clock at 11, Miami at 13, Washington at 15 are calling up, because what do they want? Quarterback, right? They know they're doing work. They want Drew Locke. Hell, maybe they want Dwayne Haskins, and that's a conversation we'll continue to have. What if they're willing to come up and give you a third for it, and then you're looking at a world where Devin Bush or Cody Ford, maybe both, are there at 13, definitely at 13.
Yeah,
and probably at 15, one of the two is there, and you're happy with either of the two.
Right.
And you can add a third.
I think you would think Devin White would be a steal at 11. You'd feel great if he fell to you.
Yeah.
Jonah Williams, Juwan Taylor, fine at 11. That's great. I would feel a little weird with Cody Ford, and it maybe even Devin Bush at 11. So you try to get back at that point if those other three guys are already
Someone's got to want to come up.
Right.
And if I just – in this league, quarterbacks don't just hang. I mean, we did see, you know, Mahomes and Watson that year where people were coming up from way back even. The Bengals aren't going to go that far back. To me, the only people they'll trade with that make any sense logically that would want to come up, that the Bengals a spot that they would be willing to go to, is Miami at 13 and Washington at 15, who want to come up and get a QB and are worried the Bengals are going to take one, whichever one is there, whether it would be Locke or Haskins or whoever, you know. So, to me, that's probably the ideal scenario. You trade back to 15, add a third, and get Devin Bush or Cody Ford.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Now you've got the extra third, and you can do some damage back there and start filling out some of your needs with, you know, third round picks. They've hit on some third round. Add a second Sam Hubbard, right? I mean, you basically be just like last year. You went Sam Hubbard, Malik Jefferson. We'll see what Malik Jefferson is. But you know, you now have you just increased your swings in a prime round to basically get the same guy that maybe you like. Goes back to, you know, this was wrong, but they passed on David DeCastro when they needed a guard because they liked Kevin Zeitler, and they said, well, we can move back six picks. We like Zeitler more anyway. We don't think others do as much as we do. We'll add picks and still get the same guy we want six picks later. And they did. David DeCastro's been to two All-Pros. But and not that there's anything wrong with Kevin Zeitler, but and the point is, though, is this philosophy. They've used this a lot. Mm-hmm. Last year, in a way, was the same example of moving back nine spots, getting Cordy Glenn and taking the center, which is what they knew they wanted to take anyway. So I'm really intrigued by that, and I think that's certainly got to be on the table. Let's get into the other position I think that's in play. We've talked about linebackers. We've talked about these offensive linemen. We haven't brought up these edge rushers. who they've done a lot of work on. So this is where Bengals fans get nervous. And I think we've talked about this before, because nobody wants to see John Ross happen again.
There's a John Ross in this first round here.
I think there's two John Rosses. I think Montez Sweat and Rashawn Gary are John Ross. It is so enticing to see the measurables on these two freaks. I mean, I've seen Sweat with like Jadeveon Clowney comps. Not that he is Clowney, but that just freakish athleticism, totally freakish athleticism. But the production isn't anywhere near what some of the other top guys are in the class. And so, and Gary, you can say the same thing where people, oh, he's out of position at Michigan, but he just wasn't anywhere near. He wasn't as productive as Chase Winovich. Mm-hmm. So do you want the guy who didn't produce at the lower level, but his traits say that you can coach him up?
I was going to say, there's a coach out there that's going to get the most out of Sweat.
I hate that.
He's 6'6". He has 36-inch arms. Mm. I mean, what more could you want?
You need those inches of arms.
Yeah, that's right.
He's fast. He bends.
He could add weight to his already great
frame.
He just
doesn't know the moves he needs to know. I'll teach him the moves. You think they weren't trying to teach him moves at Michigan? Like, this guy, we don't need to give him moves. I hate we'll coach him up. I hate high trait, especially at the edge. You know, if anybody who listened last week to Pro Football Focus, when we had Steve Palazzolo on, talked about, man, they see so much correlation at edge rusher.
Production in
college. Between production in college, yeah, and production in the NFL. And trait guys, it just doesn't – it can – but you're playing the odds, the game of odds. And the game of odds do not suggest that trait guys at edge rusher that didn't produce in college will suddenly start producing in the NFL at a high level. They can, but the odds are you're better off taking a guy who produced in college. And I worry, if you are nervous about this year's John Ross, to me, those are the two guys that it looks like. No, Steve said it last week. Buyer beware, big time, on Rashawn Gary.
Yeah, and this is the position that I think has probably two of the most sure bets in this draft, with Bosa obviously an overwhelming number one.
Yeah.
And I think Josh Allen at Kentucky is about as close as you can get to.
Yeah, he'll go in the top five.
But, I mean, just knowing that he's going to produce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he did produce. Has the traits and produced.
Right.
If you have those traits, you should be producing. If you didn't, why? And I don't care to listen to coaches telling you that I'll coach him up. I just don't want to hear that.
But then we're getting right back to the same thing. Why? Why are you here at 11? That's why we've said that with Haskins at quarterback. We just said it with the offensive tackles. Mm-hmm. Why, if you're a defensive an edge rusher, why are you here?
And now, the reason for edge would be because they were better. This is a great edge rusher draft,
right? But we still trying to fill out what this new defensive staff. What is the why that they're willing to live with?
And we'll find out. But you know, that makes me nervous. And then some of the other guys, because you got to look at the current roster now, okay? They did not pressure the quarterback. They were one of the worst in the NFL at getting pressure. Once Carl Lawson went down, people don't realize how much that changed everything. Even though he wasn't getting sacks, he was getting so many pressures. When Carl Lawson went down, Jordan Willis regressed. He did not get enough pressure. Michael Johnson got no pressure. He's not here anymore. Who are your starters right now? Carlos, he's got his spot, right? We know who he is. Michael Johnson was a starter. He's not there. Jordan Willis, you're putting him in on early downs. He was okay, but I don't, you know, he appears to not be the future unless he takes a big step. Sam Hubbard, he is a nice rotational pass rusher.
Versatile.
He is not a starter. He's not a killer. Carl Lawson is a pass rush specialist. You need someone who can get back there and be a badass on first and second down and get pressure consistently and also do some run stopping. It is a bit of a blind spot. They just did not get enough pass rush last year. And having waves of those guys is a big deal. You know, but there are some guys there who, whereas I would contend there aren't guys at linebacker or at offensive tackle. The fall off is much more steep for me not taking a premier player at those other two positions than there is at defensive end, even though that's of strength of this draft and everything.
Yeah, and now that puts us right back into the philosophical. Listen, man, the more we talk about this, I'm just getting confused. And it's not hard to confuse me. My feelings are confused. I'm thinking rolling into this sucker a week or two ago, it's like, just take one of the Devins.
Yeah.
All right, let's not overthink this. You're terrible here. Yeah. They're great. And the people behind them are not.
Yes.
Right? Very simply put. But, you know, linebacker, I understand edge rusher is more of a premium position. And it is deeper. So, the more we talk about this, the more confused I feel.
See, I think that you could get I think you could address edge rusher easier later in this draft.
Yeah.
I feel you can find some of those guys. Like Carl Lawson. Yeah. I mean, I would rather go that way, you know, than take one of these edge guys that had a few nicks on them that aren't Bosa or Allen, those types. So that's interesting to me. And that's without us even getting into the quarterback debate here like we did last week, which is still interesting. And we'll see what happens there. I can't help but think that there is I don't know.
You're talking about quarterback?
Yeah, I was. I don't know where I was going to go with that.
Well,
I did have an idea, but.
Well, knowing that Andy Dalton is the quarterback and will be the quarterback for 2019.
Yeah.
You know, Haskins does make some sense because he doesn't have the body of work in college.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the playing time. He's not a guy that I think you can expect to start right out of the gate.
He's Patrick Mahomes way. Yeah. He's exactly what we've been talking about.
He needs the year.
He needs the year.
And Andy's got the year.
To sit and watch and learn, and he's got a year.
Yeah.
And or maybe two. I mean, when we talk about find your Patrick Mahomes, this is it. A guy who played 1 year. He's pretty raw. He's got all kinds of traits.
He's accurate.
He's got all the stuff. Where you're talking about, you know, big arm, makes all the throws. This is the exact find your Patrick Mahomes player that we're talking about. So that's the part of this. There's just a lot happening here. I find this pick totally fascinating.
Yes, totally simply fascinating because of Haskins.
I know what I was going to say. In the year 2019, I find it hard to believe that the quarterbacks are just going to slide. Oh, quarterbacks just sliding. I guess that can happen. That does not happen. Somebody likes somebody and doesn't want to not get them. Somebody somewhere falls in love with somebody. Quarterbacks always go higher than you think they will. Occasionally you get a slide. Occasionally you get Aaron Rodgers in the green room. But, I mean, that is just so rare anymore.
Yeah, and John.
The value placed on the rookie quarterback contract.
Hey, John Elway has a first-round pick, so you know there's a quarterback's going to go somewhere.
Right. Denver's taking 10. One. Yeah. Denver's been doing all the work. Washington, Miami, they're coming up.
Well, it's interesting
Giants.
To me that the narrative, again, the narrative from the outside about Cincinnati is that they're going to take a quarterback. And it might be right, but I think they're wrong for why they're saying that.
They're saying outsiders look at it and they say, oh, new coach, Andy Dalton stinks. They're rebuilding.
Yeah, that's not it.
And it's just not the people that understand what's really going on here and the way the organization thinks and views it. It's just not what it is. But, I mean, I get why people say that, I guess. All right. Other positions on defense, we didn't even talk about receiver.
Well,
Paris Campbell was here this week.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, he is. So in the receiver thing, I wrote about the receiver pick, whenever that will happen, and there will be one, at least. The receiver pick, the round it comes in, will kind of determine how they really feel about John Ross. Nothing reveals true feelings like game day and draft day. Then we really know what's talk, what's saying the right things. It's like what people say about who you are as a politician. No, you are what your budget says you are, right? When you are where your money goes. That's who you are as a politician. And as a franchise, you are where you draft. You show yourself on day two. And I think they could show themselves on day two if they decided to go for a receiver like Paris Campbell. Although I think the view of him would probably be like a slip to the fourth round, and he's sort of like a Mark Walton pick, hopefully with less tasers. You know, where they didn't think they would go that position maybe necessarily, but if he's there, you love his talent. You know, he's quick. He runs a 4.3. He can be a fun gadget player. He's not necessarily a vertical stretch of the field, but, you know, there's a lot to like there. And suddenly you're already pushing John Ross out the door. You're playing Paris Campbell in the slot with Tyler Boyd and A.J. Green on the outside and hedging your bets against whether you think John Ross can do it. Or, hell, maybe you make a trade and you trade John Ross on draft day as part of a package to move up and take a receiver. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm more interested in where they end up taking a tight end.
Yeah.
Because they've got to take one. And yeah. I think it would be ahead of that fourth round area.
Potentially. I like that position better. On day three, personally.
Because of the depth at the spot.
Well, I just think for this year,
you've made your bed.
Yeah. I mean, you have CJ. You have whatever however many games you're going to get out of Tyler Eifert. Mason, I mean, I don't think you're drafting a starter.
No.
I mean, maybe they will end up being that, but you've got Eifert in a rotational mix. Like, you paid CJ $18 million. I keep going back to the Brian Callahan conversation we had at the Combine.
Where he watered down the
where he's like, ah, tight knee. End can be so much scheme. George Kittle is a great player. Everybody wants their George Kittle right now. George Kittle was a day three draft pick who was a blocking tight end who didn't catch a whole lot. He got into Kyle Shanahan's system and developed as a receiver and got schemed up as a tight end, and it puts up massive numbers. I'm not discrediting George Kittle's skill set, but there is a belief that this system, that's the same system that a lot of the same basic principles they're going to use here, is made to scheme up tight ends open. So if we're going to talk about taking one early, you've got guys there. And I would rather try to get one late and find a guy that can develop and can eventually you could scheme him open as he develops as for this year, a third tight end, rather than use one of your picks and not take a linebacker or an offensive lineman or whatever, or a receiver or an edge or a defensive tackle, whatever. All those positions, I think they should be addressing on day two, way before they're addressing tight end for right now.
We'll file that into the round six file. That's got, what, six picks in it?
Yeah. Yes, it does. That's my opinion on it. I was screaming for them to take tight ends the last 2 years because I saw this offseason coming, and they really didn't. It took Mason Schreck in the seventh. You know, to me, that's when it made sense to be aggressive, to get him in the system for a year and let, you know, I don't know. This team got a lot of trade offers for Mason Schreck at cutdown day last year. They heard from teams. Teams liked what they saw from him in the preseason. He looked like he could catch the ball, make some plays. I'm not saying he's going to be the answer. He's a seventh-round pick. But I'm curious to see what you have there. I think there's some possibilities there that he could be a guy. So I just don't, you know, I don't see that as a priority. I get why they might. I get, you know, but I just don't see that. If it were me, I wouldn't. I would much rather be taking the positions we spent how much time just talking about for number 11. Whatever the ones they don't take there, they should be taking right after that, not tight end. I don't think so. That's just me. What else is going on this week? We've got the schedule coming out this week. So we'll have that. Tonight there's a season ticket holder Q&A with Zach Taylor. They've never done that before. That's like a new...
I kind of hope there's a moment where somebody texts somebody and says, you need to come get your dad. I want somebody to start a question off calmly and then end up belligerent.
Well, at a Bengals fan event, that's in play. They've never done this before. Kudos to them for doing it. I always thought it was something that would have been very good for them, but I don't think Marvin was real interested in such things.
You don't think Marvin would have been made for a good event, speaking with other people?
No, they tried like a conference call with him once with like some fans and stuff, and it was terrible.
I'm cringing.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that goes, but I like the idea of these. You see other teams do this, and when you really need to reconnect with your fan base, I feel like this is a nice opportunity to do so with some of your season ticket holders and stuff like that. So I like that. And we've got a press conference with Zach on Friday talking about draft stuff. It's the worst press conference of the year, always.
Oh, this is the worst? Okay.
There's nothing they can say.
Right.
Like, I always, why do we even do this? There's nothing he's going to say up there that is going to, like, really. He's trying to get away with not saying anything, and we know he can be very good at that.
Oh, he's very
elite.
Evasive.
Elite, top 10.
The trick on that is whenever you walk away thinking you've got great stuff, and then when you play it back, you're like, man, this is a whole lot of nothing.
I do not have great stuff.
I have a Kanye West headline for you.
Oh, do you?
I think I want to get your take on this.
All right, let's hear it.
Here it is. This is an actual headline on the internet. Is Kanye West bringing back Eddie Bauer, the brand streetwear forgot?
Ooh.
So, Eddie Bauer, that's never been a thing for maybe, I don't know if maybe I just missed it in the mountains of Georgia. I think my dad wore Eddie Bauer when I was in like middle school, and I know that
I used to when I was in high school, I would go into like the Eddie Bauer store in the mall.
Okay, so I was gonna say, that was what polo was for me. Like the college kids were wearing the polos, so then all that filtered down. You know, football filters up, I think. Fashion filters down.
Yes.
So we started wearing polo a little bit in high school. I figured Eddie Bauer might be in your wheelhouse. I'm not calling you old, but you're older than me.
I don't like any of your line of conversation right now. Look, yeah, I went into Eddie Bauer when I was in high school. That and Structure. Remember Structure?
No.
Yeah. It was always like Structure was next to the Abercrombie and Fitch, and I would never go into Abercrombie and Fitch. It was too much for me. Structure is like the next level down.
I see.
In the mall. In Tri-County Mall. Well, how's he bringing it back? Just by wearing it?
Just by wearing it. And I feel like this is what Kanye does. He picks something that's not in, or actually he likes to pick things that people hate, and then he starts wearing them and repping it, and then it's cool again. So he's bringing back Eddie Bauer.
That's good to know. You just wanted to find some way basically to call me old is what happened.
I'm like, who the hell is Eddie Bauer?
Oh, man. Let's. So we got the schedule coming out. Look for that. We'll have some reactions to the schedule on the website so you can get a look at that. Condolences to the family of Forrest Gregg. Former Bengals Super Bowl coach and NFL legend who passed away. It was a sad, it's a sad one around here. And I know Mike Brown felt particularly connected to Forrest Gregg and had a fondness for him. So that was, condolences to their family, obviously. But we, draft is almost here, thankfully. Next Monday will be the official draft preview. We're going to try to go through all 11. Basically, kind of like a mock draft preview. We're gonna hit up every scenario we can. Dive in. Dane Brugler is gonna join us. His draft guide is unbelievable, comprehensive. I have him on every year. It's one of my favorite interviews. So we're gonna have Dane on, and then we'll be set. Then it'll be draft time. And make sure we have a live podcast, live Bengals Beat podcast with Zach Taylor. At 50 West Brewing Company on the Monday after the draft. So the draft is April 25th to the 27th. On the 29th at 6 p.m. at 50 West Brewing Company, live BBP with Zach Taylor as our guest. And we will go through all the picks. We'll talk a little bit about how his transition's going, how he views certain guys fitting in, all that type of stuff we will get to. I'm really excited about that. It's going to be a great event. Anybody that came out to the one we did with Duke Tobin last year knows it was really interesting. There's a lot to react to in the days after the draft. So really looking forward to that. Come on out. You submit questions, all that stuff. We love to have a beer with you afterwards. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening to this edition of the BBP. And we will be talking to you soon. We'll talk to you next week. It'll be draft time. Have a good one.